Orville Freestone Jr. Sunday School, April 29th, 2012.
Turning your Bibles to the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah. This 49th chapter begins the second section of the second part of Isaiah. And from chapters 49 through 57 are called the book of Messiah, because it gives us a word picture of who he is. The word Messiah is a Hebrew word meaning anointed one. When the Bible was translated into Greek a couple hundred years before Jesus' birth, the Jewish translators translated it into Greek as the Greek word of Christos, which means anointed one. And it's from that we get Christ. So Messiah and Christ are interchangeable titles. Before we get into the chapter, let us review what he has already told us about this Messiah. In chapter 7:14, he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God is with us. It is a term showing the incarnation of God in a child who would be born of a virgin, which is certainly a miraculous birth, but it is appropriate for the incarnation of God, the Son of God. And in chapter 9 of Isaiah, we read that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of these are divine titles. And in chapter 11, he is called the root of Jesse, or the root out of spring out of the stump of Jesse, meaning that he would be the descendant of Jesse, the father of King David. And in chapter 42, he is called God's servant. And the word servant used in this throughout Isaiah doesn't mean a slave. It doesn't even mean someone who is paid to serve. It has the same meaning in this context as what we call our public servants. He is God's representative to do God's will. And then in chapter 49, we see that he is associated with the Lord God and his Spirit. And he is described as being the Creator. Now that is already very clear picture of who he is, and that he would be recognized when he came. But in these chapters, 49 through 57, are especially devoted to him. And just as chapter 40, opening the first section of the second part of Isaiah, was about John the Baptist and his call to repentance, just so chapter 49, the first chapter of the second part, tells us about the calling by God of Messiah. So reading in chapter 49, "Listen to me, O coastlands," that is the lands around the Mediterranean, "and give attention, you peoples from afar," meaning to the east and in the far distance in all directions. "The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Matthew calls attention to this in his gospel. In the first chapter of Matthew, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." So listen to me, O coastlands. Give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand he hid me. Speaking and making his mouth like a sharp sword was fulfilled in the Gospels, because no one could stand against him when he spoke. When they would try to engage him in a debate, they came out the worst every time. And in the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. This speaking of what is called those silent years of Jesus' life, about whom we have no record. We have a record of his birth. We have a record of his acceptance in the temple. And then we have nothing more of him until he began his ministry. And he said to me, "You are my servant, my representative, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Here he takes the place of Israel, who had failed to be God's representative among the nations, and he would himself fill this place. And we shall see that he will be given to the Gentiles as a banner. "But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." Not quite a description of his ministry, but certainly a description of the acceptance of his ministry by most of the nation of Israel when he came. "Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." Keep in mind that all of this is poetry that we are reading, but it is prophetic poetry, and everything, every word has a meaning. "And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant," speaking again of his virgin birth, it was God who formed him in the womb without a natural father, "to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, God says to him, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, and my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus was rejected by his nation but not by all of his people. Here he said that he would bring back the preserved of Israel, and they did. There are many thousands of the Jews in Jesus' day who followed him, who believed on him. We read in the Acts that there were many thousands of the Jews who believe and were baptized by the apostles after Jesus was gone. They are the preserved of Israel. And God has a preserved in Israel to this day. He always has had, and he will until that day when the whole nation shall be reconciled unto him. I will make you as a light to the nations, and my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And the Apostle Paul quoted this in Romans. Jesus was a light to the Gentiles or to the nations. Wherever you read Gentiles in the Bible, you can also read the nations, for that is what it means. Gentiles is a Latin word meaning peoples or nations. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. So he has pledged to redeem Israel, and he will redeem the whole nation. To one deeply despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, describing Jesus in his ministry, that he was deeply despised and abhorred by the rulers in Israel, by most of the ruling council, and by the Pharisees, a servant of the rulers. He shall see and arise. This is speaking of the time yet to come when he shall be accepted by the preserved of Israel. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. So here we see that as Isaiah prophesied of the virgin birth of Israel, here he says that the Lord called him from the womb and they named him. And he said also that the Lord had formed him in the womb and called him to be his servant, his representative to the nation of Israel. This recalls also the sixth chapter of Isaiah, where he was giving the parable of the vineyard, and he said that, well, let's turn and read that in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, or it's the fifth chapter. Let me sing for Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out the wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done to it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured, and I will break it down, and it shall be trampled down, and I will make it waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars shall grow up in it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And you remember Jesus told a parable about the man who had planted a vineyard, and he built a tower in it, and then he went into a far country, but before going he charged his servants and when that they should care for it, and then he sent his servants to get the profits from the vineyard, and they stoned some and they killed others, and he said, then I will send my son, they will honor him. And so they said, this is the heir, we will kill him and the vineyard shall be ours. And so in Isaiah here, Jesus as the servant of the Lord was that one whom God had sent to Israel to have a harvest of faith. But just as in Jesus' parable, they killed him, and fulfilling his prophecy in that parable. So this, the first seven verses of the 49th chapter of Isaiah describe the Messiah, the Christ, in these days of his on earth. And then the Lord belongs to Israel, and Israel belongs to him, and the land belongs to both. And in the following verses in chapter 49, we see of a time that is yet future when these kings shall see and arise, and princes shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, has chosen you. And in verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land and to apportion its desolate heritages. So here we have a prophecy that is quoted by Paul in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, quoting this prophecy in Isaiah. So what, in a favorable time of favor I have answered you, the Lord says to Israel. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people, to, that is, to the people of Israel, to establish the land. So what is said of Christ here, God heard him in a favorable time, that is, in a time of God's choosing, Paul also applies to all who hear him. Then is the favorable time, then is the day of salvation. Which brings up a point manifest throughout the whole of Scripture. We do not come to God when we choose. We do not come to him when we want to him. We come when he chooses. We come when he calls us, or we don't come. This is why so many people seem so hard toward the gospel, and why so many people never do come to the gospel. In this country, nearly everyone has heard the gospel time after time after time, by radio, on the television, in revivals and campaigns, and everywhere. And if people spurn the gospel when the Spirit is calling them, they don't come. So in a favorable time, I have answered you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, that is to Israel, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages. Joshua apportioned the land of Israel to the tribes. There are no tribes as such. The prophets spoke of a time when they would no longer be divided in tribes, but they would be one people. And here now the Lord causes him, the Messiah, to apportion the land of Israel and the desolate heritages that have lain desolate for centuries, saying to the prisoners, come out, that is to the refugees, the Jewish refugees, to those who are in darkness, appear, because this will be their accepted time as a nation to hear. They shall feed along the ways, and all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, speaking of more than just the Babylonian dispersion, speaking of the Roman dispersion, which is still in existence. It has never been ended. Behold, these shall come from afar. Today, in our time, there have been Jews in nearly, if not every, nation on earth. These shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north, that is from Russia and Northern Europe. Those Northern Jews were called the Ashkenazim Jews from the north, and from the west, that is the Sephardi Jews from Spain and from West Africa, and by extension from the New World, and these from the land of Sinim. Now, Sinim was the ancient name of China, and there were Jews in China over the centuries. They were merchants in the coastal cities of China and even along the Silk Road leading into China. And these from the land of Sinim. The I-M is the Hebrew ending, meaning plural. The word of Sin was the ancient name for China, pronounced depending on how the Chinese characters were understood, as Sin or Tsin or Chin, from which we get China. So this means in this time the worldwide dispersion of the Jews will all be called. Today there are only about 7,000 Jews in Israel. There are more than that still in dispersion throughout the nations. And then here is the ode of joy, we might say, to that time. Hear, sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. You remember the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the first chapter of the second division, opens with, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And here the Lord completes that call, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted. We are beginning to see these prophecies fulfilled in our own day, which is another of the signs of the time that we are living in, a time when all of these things could be fulfilled in our day. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And this is what the cry of many of the Jews today. Years ago, I heard a discussion by radio, so that tells you how long ago it was, between a minister, a priest, and a rabbi. And the rabbi said, if we are God's chosen people, it doesn't pay to be God's chosen people, does it? Well, it doesn't if you don't obey him. So, but that has been the attitude of many Jews over time. You remember in the film, The Fiddler on the Roof, where two of you says, couldn't you please choose someone else for a change? Looking up to heaven. But Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And then he uses the strongest bond of love known to mankind. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Even they may forget. And we know from our newscasts almost weekly of cases where a mother has forsaken her child for one reason or for another. But God says, even though that strongest bond known to mankind will fail, yet I will not forget you. And what he says of Israel as a people, he means also for a people is the people of Israel as individuals, especially those the preserved among Israel, who we read earlier in this chapter. And if he says that, means that about the nation of Israel and about the individual Jews, he certainly means that about you who are a believer on him, who are do belong to him by a new birth. He will not forget you. He will not forsake you. You can claim this promise too. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. This is one of the most remarkable statements, I think, in Scripture. Only slaves were branded in the palms or on their foreheads, because that is the most prominent part of the body. You cannot hide your hand for very long. And even a comb over or bangs can't hide the forehead. Slaves were branded in this way that no matter where they were, they would be recognized as a slave. And here God says that he has engraved Israel on the palms of his hand. Brother Bruce has been speaking about the anthropomorphisms of God in Scripture, speaking of God in terms of human characteristics and human body parts. God has engraved Israel on the palms of his hand, that they should ever be before him, never to be forgotten. Your walls, that is the walls of Jerusalem, are continually before me. Your builders, make haste in this future time when he will reconcile Israel to himself Your destroyers and those who lay you waste go out from you. There'll be no Palestinian insurrections and intifada in that day. That will be long forgotten. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. That is, the far scattered exiles of Israel returning to their land, returning to Jerusalem. Lift up your eyes around and see those in Jerusalem. They all gather. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does. That is, all of the peoples that will return to their land of Israel. Surely your waste and desolate places and your devastated land, surely now you will be too narrow for your inhabitants, speaking of the land of Israel. Right now, the narrowest part of Israel is only 12 miles wide. When we were in the city of Netanya there, at that place, our guide said, the Palestinians are just 12 miles away, and they're just waiting for a chance to send a rocket. And those who swallow you up will be far away. The children of your bereavement will yet say in your ears, the place is too narrow for me. Make room for me to dwell in. And their borders will expand and continue to expand in that day until they have reached to the limits of the land that God promised to Abraham. Then you will say in your heart, who has borne me these, that is, these inhabitants, these citizens? I was bereaved and barren, Israel will say, exiled and put away. But who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From whence have these come? Thus says the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples. In the Bible, whenever you, in both Testaments, whenever you read the word the people, it refers to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. Whenever you read the peoples in the plural, it refers to the nations, to the Gentiles. Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples. And they shall bring you your sons in their bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. This is God's promise to Israel. It will not be then as it is today, even in the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or captives from the tyrant be rescued? Metaphorically speaking of the Jews in exile in foreign nations. For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken. That is, those who are forbidden to leave the country and go to Israel, as in the past. And the prey of the tyrant shall be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children, and I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So here he, in this 49th chapter, he continues to describe the Messiah and his people and their future. And In the next chapter, he will carry this on, and we shall see the portrait of Christ beginning to develop ever more clear as we proceed in this section of Isaiah known as the Book of Messiah.